In last Sunday's edition of the format, the following errors appeared. In the interview with Robin Williams...
Culture, page 19.
The actor actually described the film Dead Poets Society as marking the real...
Sea change.
...in his career, rather than the real...
Sex change.
...as we mistakenly reported. Similarly, our architectural supplement...
Building, page 24.
...erroneously referred to the lavish new designs for the Royal...
Sex change.
...in Manchester, instead of the proposals for the new Royal...
Exchange.
...a publicly funded repertory theatre in the same town, which has no connection with transsexuals. Our leader column...
Leader column, page 50.
...which should have been commenting on the European Union's imposition of compulsory...
Surcharges.
...on British farmers, contained a similar error... As did our crime report...
Culture, page 22.
...which should have stated that Humberside Borough Councillor Arthur Nestle appeared in court facing a group of...
Sex charges.
Finally, in the interview with the transsexual performance artist Barry Newcomer...
Money, page 8.
...we mistakenly quoted him as saying...
I was at that point in my life, after so many years of pain and confusion, that I thought, what the hell, I might as well just go for it. And decided to have a...
Depth charge.
The operation Barry underwent was, of course, a...
Sea change.
The Sunday format apologises unreservedly.
Contents page.
This week in your all-new format, Sunday format.
In your new award-winning format, award-winning Sunday, Sunday format this Sunday.
Just say no. Alexander Jeffries looks at a new government initiative to help troubled teenagers kick their drugs habit by encouraging them to stage Japanese no theatre. Page 20.
Page 7. Conductor on a bus. Sir Simon Rattle takes us on his five favourite bus routes, including the 74, 206 and the old 98B. Page 60.
Is post-neo-premodernism dead? Diddy Cooper says it is. Page 45. Martin Jarvis says it isn't. Page 45.
The last word. Page 89.
Regular columnist Michael Green explains why he hates music, cinema and all forms of popular entertainment.
Can the rainforest survive? See our special 58-page pull-out special.
The Essential Kitchen.
Part 9 of our 10-part series.
This week, kitchen architect India Spago...
With an E.
...looks at the tea towel. The tea towel is the Cinderella of kitchen utensils, and you may wonder why we're inviting it to the ball, but we are building the Essential Kitchen, and the humble tea towel is part of the essence of kitchenness. Without it, your kitchen cannot be complete, or indeed cannot really be said to be a kitchen. Besides, the tea towel is in for a comeback. According to dishcloth designer Alfred Sex, who has been creating dishcloths and dusters since the 70s, the dishwasher may have temporarily dented the tea towel's unquestioned supremacy, but now is back, all guns blazing.
Television.
The week ahead, ahead. In full, on television, in brief.
Saturday, Ally McBeal night. 8:35, Naked Ally McBeal. The ubiquitous Davina McCall takes an in-depth look behind the scenes of the phenomenon that is America's number one legal Boston-based comedy drama. 9:05, The Real Ally McBeals.
Offbeat look at people such as 19-year-old legal secretary Claire Barwood, who identify with the dilemmas of the miniskirted bundle of contradictions that is Callista Flockhart's Ally McBeal.
10:45, Not Very Ally McBeal. Three young women explain why they have rejected the legal world of Ally McBeal to work in the sex industry. 11:55, Rumpole of the Bailey.
Another chance to see the pilot episode of Britain's Answer to Ally McBeal, starring Leo McKern.
Like the British Empire, the tea towel must learn to adjust to its new, less exalted but more honest position in the world.
It's more than simply a cloth for drying dishes,
opines Sex in a foreword to the catalogue for his new exhibition, I Am Tea Towel. The tea towel, whether it be from Penzance with a picture of St. Michael's Mount, or one which says best wishes from Whitney Bay, is an indicator of our relationship with crockery.
The tea towel is a form of communication, every bit as powerful as the World Wide Web. I would never have known that clotted cream was a Devonshire invention had I not read a tea towel which said, Welcome to Devon, home of clotted cream.
Money Doctor. Choosing the right investment savings account, or ISA, can be a nightmare. Our money correspondent, Tessa Costello, provides a simple, no-nonsense guide through the minefield of personal investment.
ISAs are the government-sponsored, high-interest, low-maintenance, medium-term, tax-free, middle-range investment for the broad-range, mid-income, lower-tax-rate, up-and-coming, typically average, middle-England saver.
Picture top right.
ISAs have taken over from TESAs, or tax-exempt special savings accounts, as I explained in my Tessa Costello's TESA guide last year. People used to comment on the amusing fact that I was called Tessa and knew about Tessas. Nowadays, though, people say to me, Tessa, what kind of ICER should I say they replace their Tessa with?
It won't be long before the well-heeled will eschew the cappuccino makers, the designer food processors, the popcorn makers, and demand a simple tea towel instead. Alfred's new tea towel collection is a brazen attempt to bring the genre upmarket.
The Will South dishcloth is selling very well. It has little pictures depicting all his short stories. There's also the Tony Parsons depicting all the characters in his book Man and Boy as furry animals. I'm working on another which charts Karl Popper's trenchant attack on Freud and the pseudosciences. It's great at absorbing moisture too.
I Am Tea Towel ends on December 9th. Visit Alfred Sachs' website at dustersandteatowels@mailserve.com.
There are two types of ICER, Maxi and Mini. Your decision on which to choose is simply a matter of deciding whether you want an APR standard rate high performance global portfolio or a tracker NASDAQ semi-skimmed techno accumulation fund manager type thing.
Picture, top left.
An ICER is enticing, but I wouldn't dispose of my Tessa to pay for it. Quite frankly, you'd be foolish to give up your Tessa at this stage. Some advisors say if your Tessa isn't performing for you, then you should move your investment to Julia, the joint unit lending investment account.
The Big C. Why me?
Norman Forrester was just an ordinary solicitor from Rickmansworth until destiny dealt him the fateful hand of fate.
I woke up today and the sun was shining. Little did I know that today would become one of the most important days in my entire life. Because today I discovered I was one of the 20% of people who knew someone who'd once met someone who had the disease. I'd like to tell you about my friend Peter, how he was an inspiration to me, a guiding light, my messiah, my mentor, my bodhisattva, the wind beneath my wings. But I can't, because he wasn't. He was just a bloke who someone I met in a pub used to know vaguely through his brother. Even so, he touched me. Accidentally, and he apologized afterwards. But we had an affinity, and when I found out he had the disease, I was moved. My life changed. Changed completely. I've tried various forms of therapy to come to terms with the inescapable truth that I am a person who knows a person who's got a potentially life-changing disease. Obviously, I've had to give up my job. My lovely wife, Aya Napa, has been so supportive, but Norman, she says, you've only met this guy once, which is true. But ask not for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for me, me. All my life I've smoked like a chimney, drunk like a fish, and taken every drug going, and now it happens. I'm struck down with the burden of having to sympathize with someone else's illness. Yes, it was the Big C. Dyslexia. In these very pages, I shall be charting my struggle against vaguely knowing someone with an antisocial affliction. It's going to be hard, and it's going to be tough.
Therapy permitting, Norman Forrester returns next week.
Julia can make you happy in the short term, but before you know what's happening, you'll be deciding you need a little more excitement in your life. If that's the case, you may find your eye wandering to the Savings Held Enterprise Investment Loan account, Sheila. Life is never dull with Sheila.
Angus Wilson is on holiday.
Bridget Jones's Diary is about to become the latest Hollywood blockbuster, but, asks the Sunday Format, what else could make the leap from the newspaper page to the big screen?
Simon Hoggett's Diary.
Plenty of political intrigue in this taut psychological thriller from the Trainspotting team. Ewan McGregor plays Hoggett.
The Times' cryptic crossword.
A highbrow experimental piece in the mould of Derek Jarman's Blue. Audiences look at a blank crossword for 2 hours while Juliet Stevenson reads clues to a specially composed soundtrack by Philip Glass. Mesmerising.
But the stakes are high, and you're sure to find the pace too hard going, in which case you could end up with the less sexy but homelier Extreme Length Investment Zero Altered Business Expense Trustee Holding.
Picture top right.
Or Elizabeth.
The deep stuff.
Coining it big time.
Or perhaps à la grande manière would be more appropriate,
writes Michelle Courtney.
With an E.
For the latest avant-garde fusion of fashion accessory and biodynamic spiritual amulet.
Picture top left.
Is the brainchild of French designer, architect, philosopher and visionary Serge Ronsard. At first sight, it might look like a simple metal coil, but appearances can be deceiving, a phenomenon which Umberto Eco first pointed out in 1981.
At first sight, it might look like a simple metal coil,
Ronsard explains.
But appearances can be deceiving. With this coil of metal suspended around the neck like a medallion, the wearer is transported to a higher level of being. It is the key to wisdom and spiritual purity. Maybe this sounds grandiose, but when I tell you, you can already see supermodels, fashion designers, and television presenters wearing my coil. I think my case is proved.
Ronsard calls the coil la clé, or the key, depending on which language he is speaking.
Gastronomy, eating out.
In this brave new world of GM-free, environmentally friendly, organically correct eateries, very few establishments, it seems, are willing just to serve you up an old-fashioned plate of unhealthy, unethical, additive-packed grub. But Colin and Mytumney found a restaurant where they've learned how to stop worrying and love the chemicals.
I yearn for the days when food was simply what you got on your plate at La Caprice, and you jolly well ate it all up because people in the developing world couldn't get a table there. Frankly, I long for a bit of basic, honest-to-goodness, no-frills fare, served without fuss or pretension, in a place where they're not bothered about where it's been or who's sprayed it with what. Somewhere ordinary, down-to-earth, humble if you like, where they're unlikely to be able to pronounce the phrase genetically modified, let alone grasp its meaning. I settled on Leeds. A tip-off from a northerner friend of mine had alerted me to the existence of Jimmy Connor's Fish Bar. No relation, it seems. A fish restaurant in the quaint Round Hay Park district of the city, which she assured me held no truck with all this pesticide-free nonsense. So it was that a companion and I found ourselves boarding the 1705 from Euston to make the long trek north. It's true what they say. Folks certainly are friendlier up north.
The spiralling design of Ronsard's coils was based on the shape of the parasitic worms which his wife Giselle had contracted from drinking rancid horse yogurt in Turkmenistan on a photo shoot for Etrangere, the in-house fashion magazine of the French Foreign Legion.
It was the perfect symbol. A living creature indigenous to the place. Circular, a parasite if you will, but to look at it another way. A living creature, living, protected inside another creature. In my mind, a zoomorphic manifestation of chi itself. I am so grateful to my wife that she's prepared to take such radical measures to lose weight.
2 weeks later, Giselle wore the key at the premiere of Jean-Michel Petard's new film about latent heterosexuality in the Parisian transvestite community, Mauvais Jeu. And it became the talk of the town, partly because she wore nothing else and partly thanks to an extraordinary incident at the party afterwards. According to eyewitnesses, Giselle, using the power of her new pendant alone, stepped out of the Hotel Crillon and caused 6 lanes of traffic on the Place de la Concorde to stop dead.
Our burly, suitably brusque, though as he turned out rather jolly Yorkshire taxi driver, gave us a free tour of all the local sights, but eventually understood where we wanted to go and dropped us with a grin at the door of Ginny's, where we had booked a table for 8. Jimmy himself, the colourfully rotund patron, was slightly disappointed when he realised that there were only 2 of us, but soon saw the funny side of the confusion and allowed us back inside.
Contemporaneities.
The Lena.
Picture, top left.
This curious wooden structure may look like a cross between a skateboard and a Corby trouser press, but it's the latest thing in home furnishings. Terence O'Grady, the award-winning bench designer, came up with the idea at a party in Camden Town.
I didn't want to sit down at this party. Sitting ages people terribly, but my legs were tired, so I didn't want to keep standing. I really just wanted to lean on something. Why doesn't someone invent a leaner, I asked myself. And then I realised I just had.
At £500, the O'Grady leaner is not cheap, but there are less expensive models on the market. We tested the Habitat Lean Machine on 4 pairs of tired legs.
Pilot Paul Russell.
As a pilot, I spend 9 hours a day sitting. The last thing I want to do with my time off is sit. But standing is tiring. I found the leaner an excellent compromise, fusing the ease of sitting with the free wind-in-your-hair feeling when one is standing up. I was afraid that some people might think it was an ironing board. 8 out of 10.
Day nurse Lisa Finch.
I spend all my time standing, so when I get off work, I just like to sit or lie down. I did try the leaner for a few minutes, but I fell off. 2 out of 10.
PR consultant Ruby Granger.
I think it's great for meetings that you want to keep short. 7 out of 10.
With an average of 6 out of 10, the leaner may not suit everyone, but you can be sure it's going to be on a lot of fashionable shopping lists this Christmas.
Word spread like wildfire about the power of the amulet, and within weeks, I have sold almost 20. People have told me it gives them unbounded energy, cures bad posture, improves the appetite, sexual desire.
But is it all in the mind? I ask Ronsard skeptically. He shrugs his Gallic smile.
Everything is in the mind. Matter is energy, reality is perception. We think, therefore we are. But with Laclé, we think better, therefore we are better. It is Descartes squared, that is all.
Laclé by Serge Ronsard. €4,000 from Emporium Ronsard, Rue Saint-Sulpice, Paris.
Effortless.
Health Style, the Sunday format's new guide to the do's and don'ts of staying healthy in style.
Health Style, news in brief.
Do we really need our brains?
A report out today suggests that they might not be as important as we think they are. Scientists at Durham University believe that the brain, like the appendix, could in time become a defunct organ. So far, doctors in the study have experimented with the removal of only 50% of the brain at a time, testing their subjects' responses in a range of situations encountered in daily life, and found relatively unimpaired levels of performance. Anyone with half a brain, it seems, can drive, shop, cook, and visit garden centres in much the same way as the rest of us.
The restaurant is one of those unaccountable gems which one suddenly finds in the unlikeliest of places. In this case, sandwiched between a boarded-up chemist and a burnt-out laundrette in the middle of a depressing council estate, underneath the flyover where the M63 intersects with the M1. Once inside, however, one finds nothing but humour and cheerfulness, not least in the décor, which is full of jokey little touches nodding towards the tacky provenance of the fish and chip shop genre in which Jimmy has its roots. The staff are all kitted out in quirky outfits complete with stiff-peaked mob caps, and you stand at the counter rubbing shoulders with other diners, peasant style. No need to ask for the smoking section here. So far, so North London.
Health Style.
News in brief. Conversation. It's all in the genes.
Scientists at the Institute of Psychiatry in London have conducted a study of 3,000 sets of mixed-sex twins, which shows that girls are chatterboxes by the age of two, while their brothers already prefer to keep mum. Researchers asked mothers to stop talking for a moment so that they could ask them to monitor which words their children used at or around their second birthdays. They found that certain words, such as birthday, my, and present, were used a great deal by both sexes at this time, but that girls used them with greater frequency, insistence, and volume.
Popularity index of infants' names for the year 2000.
1. Liam.
2. Leo.
3. Beckham.
4. Posh.
5. Eminem.
Brackets. New entry.
6. Tinky Winky.
But the proof of the pudding, as they say, is in the eating, which is what we were there to do. The specials, chalked in idiosyncratic spelling on, of all things, an old car door, gave us a pretty clear idea as to the dishes likely to be chosen by the discerning customer around here. And indeed, Jimmy informed us that they were the only ones on the menu. I started with crispy, deep, fat-fried chicken thighs. Factory farmed, I wanted to know. I imagine so, our host reckoned, although I'm pleased to say that he had absolutely no idea and couldn't give a toss whether the oil they'd been coated in came from genetically engineered plants or not. Refreshing or what? My companion plumped for what the staff insisted on calling sausage in batter, but which for the purposes of this review I will describe as grand saucisson gracieux in a huntsman's jerkin.
Plus, in the Sunday format this week...
Reference points.
Page 30. Menopause for thought. The male menopause is nothing new, and some men even have emotional experiences. Is it time to re-evaluate the menopause?
The Felicity James column.
Last night, after a particularly vibrant dinner party, my old friend Sandra confessed with some glee that she had found herself a younger man. Why is there this sudden switch in gender age gap ratios? What has caused this epidemic? We know that young men spend far longer on computer games than their great-grandparents. So what is it about computer games that causes this attraction to older women? Clearly, young men are becoming deprived of human contact, a primitive need manifest in our cousins the chimpanzee and even the dolphin. So far, so simple. But what's in it for the older women? The answer must lie in hormone replacement therapy. I've been having HRT for 3 years and have not been out with a younger man, so there must be a hormonal imbalance in non-HRT women which attracts them to younger men and then makes them flaunt their conquests at dinner parties. They may think they're having lots of fun in bed, but women like Sandra are desperately sad, and we must pity them.
Has the Blair bubble burst?
My thighs were meaty and succulent, although, as one of my fellow diners remarked, a little on the fatty side. I thought that was where you liked them up here, I quipped back at him, to general agreement. For my main course, I opted for adult haddock on an informal gathering of chip-style potatoes with seasonal local vegetables, the charmingly monikered mushy peas, which the maitre d' self-deprecatingly insisted were from a tin. My friend went for the slightly more conventional North Sea cod, remarking naughtily that he wanted to enjoy it before stocks became too depleted. "It's all right, we've another big bag in the fridge," joked the waiter. We washed the whole lot down with a 1999 cola, which perfectly complemented the fish. By this time, the north-south divide had been well and truly bridged, and Jimmy knew pretty much everything there is to know about me. So it was no surprise when our bill came to a modest £327.50 for three courses, including drinks and a complimentary Rothmans. So my friend and I will be definitely going back up north.
Cruciality.
No nonsense.
Purveyor of the new post-realism, Mike Clegg, takes time off from working on his new uncompromising epic novel, Buddha's Flick Knife, to talk to Alan Collins about London, integrity and tapenade.
We're sitting in Vesuvius 69X, Camden Town's latest and hippest chill cocktail restaurant. After exchanging pleasantries over the first round of buffalo milk cappuccinos, I've put it to Mick Clegg that this kind of joint is the quintessential place to find it.
It's a very now place, and I'm a very now writer, so I suppose you're right. Nowness has always been important to me, and never more so than at the moment. The finger-on-the-pulse thing is something that a meticulous stylist such as myself has always needed to have.
Ever since Clegg took the London publishing world apart with The Pollution of Infinity 2 years ago, he's been the novelist of choice to the most interesting elements of the British rock scene. I suggest this must be a burden as well as an accolade. He thoughtfully downs his third Russian gaucho.
Vodka and alfalfa juice.
And nods stoically.
The tapenade in here is the best this side of my house,
Clegg says with a gaze into the middle distance.
Literality.
The fairy in the mire.
If you enjoyed Hannah Stevenson's breathtaking first collection of short stories, The Rusted Hoop, you'll have already appreciated the cunning way she juxtaposes obsession with basketball and the inevitability of rainwater as twin poles of the American experience. However, nothing will prepare you for the shock of her first novel, The Fairy in the Mire. First issued by the small publishing house Icepick as The Elves in the Shit, The Fairy in the Mire uses left-handedness as a symbol of the way we are all doomed to fail, maddeningly, to fully come to grips with the utterly familiar. Maddeningly is the apposite adverb, for Stevenson's hero, Asphodel, an 18th century botanist whose search for the rarest orchids leads her to be transported through a time tunnel in the Amazon jungle to a lock-up garage in south central Los Angeles in the late 40s, run by Ray and Bobby, some echo surely of Beckett's Tramps in these disarmingly ordinary names, bamboozles the reader with a dissonance and multi-layered textuality which is redolent of Edgar Varese making an opera out of Finnegan's Wake. Beguiling, thrilling, hilarious, lyrical, moving and long, this is the worst book I've ever read.
But you've got to get on with it, you know.
He shrugs.
It's the price you pay. As far as I'm concerned, it's just a job, basically. Just the same as me dad getting up and going down the pit every day for 30 years. It's just that my job involves more A-list parties. To tell you the truth, I hate London.
I ask him about his vicious public attacks on the state of the England football team.
I just hate it when they're bad. In a way, we're too soft now as a country. In Brazil, kids in the slums are so poor, they kill each other for a football. I was beaten up at school for carrying a thesaurus.
Picture top left.
It hardened me. Next time they attacked me, I was carrying a cosh.
Picture top right.
He shrugs enigmatically.
I tell the truth, and I don't care.
He shrugs.
They know I have no vanity. I'm proud of that.
Clegg says with a gaze into the middle distance.
Yin is all very well, but we should not neglect the yang.
Subtexts.
Slimming for the millennium. Sunday Format health correspondent Nancy Berry,
with a J,
launches week one of our unique scientific approach to weight loss.
Diet. The very word itself, not the word itself, but the word diet, comes loaded with emotional connotations of guilty eating, self-loathing, in the 16th century German parliament. Diets promise a life-changing, once-in-a-lifetime lifeline to the life of Riley, but really rarely amount to no more than a quick fix, a miniature sticking plaster to cover the acres of undulating layers of fleshy flab that is your stomach. Most diets are at best unscientific, at worst very unscientific. Our unique scientific weight loss program, for the first time and uniquely, offers you the chance to lose weight scientifically.
Day one.
Travel. My abattoir break.
Regular readers will know that I have spent weekends in oasthouses, pig farms, windmills, a converted lighthouse, and even a trust house forte. So a traditional English country abattoir held no apprehensions for me. That is, until I realised that this was no converted abattoir. It was an abattoir in full service. Still, my wife and I welcomed the chance of a romantic weekend without the kids, so we were hardly going to turn it down. Okay, it's an abattoir where animals meet their fate, but it's real. It's part of life, and if you want to get close to nature, then it doesn't come much closer than this.
Day 3. The hard work is over now. Just remember to keep your regular food diary, noting the time, the food, the mood you're in, and the shop of purchase. Just keep this regime in place for 3 weeks, and then we're ready to begin phase 2, the 3-month period that builds towards the moment when you actually start, scientifically, to lose weight.
10 places to meet potential partners.
Work.
Weddings.
Dinner parties.
Clubs.
Bookshops.
Laundrettes.
Agencies.
Art galleries.
Lakes.
Marinas.
Las Vegas.
Parks.
10 reasons why London is now the best city in the world.
Welks.
Shoulder pads.
Pandas.
Black death.
Luckily, I am very accustomed to the sounds and smells of our hoofed cousins.
Clockwise from top left.
So the odours didn't bother me at all. There was very little noise unless we opened the window. The actual slaughtering was barely audible. At 6 o'clock, our hosts, Mr. and Mrs. Bennett, whose family have been slaughterers for 3 generations, joined us for an aperitif on the forecourt. As the sun turned the sky crimson in the east, they regaled us with slaughterers' tales that were not nearly as gory as you might have thought. Trucks came and went. Carcasses were loaded and unloaded, evoking the bustling bazaars of Marrakesh.
Sections of the Sunday format are carefully collated at our print centres and newsagents. If any section of your Sunday format is missing, do please let us know and we will try to trace it for you.
Day 23. By now, you should be well on the way to losing your first pounds, and you're ready to calculate the best way to go about it simply and scientifically. Start measuring the specific capacity of your mass weight in proportion to density on a daily basis. Day 96. You are now ready to perform your own DIY surgical operation to help bring your weight down scientifically. You may need to plan in a week or two off work after the operation in case of complications.
On Saturday, we were treated to a glimpse of the craft of butchering. They still use exactly the same tools and traditions as they did last year when the new regulations came in. This was the coalface of nature, cruel but beautiful, appalling but captivating. We had a fascinating break, and we are still prepared to eat meat occasionally, although not as much as we did, and usually hidden in a pie or burger.
For further information on abattoir breaks, there is now a specialist travel agency at ababreaks.com. Not recommended for vegetarians.
Plus, in the Sunday format this week...
Yes, it was the big C. Dyslexia.
Folks certainly are friendlier up north.
A zoomorphic manifestation of chi itself.
Do we really need our brains?
My thighs were meaty and succulent,
and we must pity them.
This is the worst book I've ever read.
Next time they attacked me, I was carrying a cosh.
Let's talk rubbish.
10 places to get pierced.
10 colours to avoid.
10 things you really should have read.
10 reasons to be chased.
10 colours that are now. 10 newspaper articles.
10 coffees.
10 shops that sell rubber bands. 10 vegetarian food.
10 colours to cheer.
Effortless.